Open your books, please, or your Bibles to the book of Amos. Open your books to the Bible of Amos. Amos chapter 3, page 935 in your Scofield Bible. Beginning with verse 1, we'll read through verse 7. We'll read the verses responsively. And the third verse is the text verse for this morning's message. Amos chapter 3. Verses 1 through 7, page 935. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together, except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Verse 7 together, please. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for your word. Thank you that we have access to thy word. We're free to take it up and read it in our homes. We're free to carry it as a precious prized possession. And bring it to this place where we meet together, free now to read it together, free to hear its preaching. Bless our preacher as he brings to us your word this morning, and help us as we ever so carefully listen to what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
You need not turn to it, but I'm going to read for you a couple of verses. First one I'm going to read, Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. I want you to notice the term lover and friend. And then this word, My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. I preached a sermon, two or three years ago, entitled Lovers and Friends. I'm going to give my sermon this morning the same title, though it has nothing to do with the theme of my message a couple of 3 years ago. I want to speak today on the subject Lovers and Friends, where our text comes, and you'll understand in a few minutes why, from Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed. I am not a great preacher. I am not a great Bible teacher. But I do think. I spend much of my life using my mind, and I think. And I have a book that's full of wonderful, wonderful truths. And I never stand before you but what I think it's life or death. And I think this morning that what I'm going to give to you is worthy of your sitting up, paying attention, listening to every word I say, and appropriating it and applying it to your life. I promise you today, if you'll listen, you will not leave this service saying he's a great preacher, and you will not leave this service saying that was a great sermon. But I promise you that you will leave this service saying that that was one of the greatest truths I ever heard in my life, and if I will apply it, it will help me. So I beg you, for your sake, not for mine, I beg you for your sake to listen to what I have to say from the Word of God today. Father, teach us now what you have for us. And I pray that we'll be better Christians, better citizens, better church members, better husbands, better wives, better mothers, better fathers, better friends, because we're here as we think of this wonderful, wonderful truth, lovers and friends. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to tell you this morning why a young couple can fall in love, as we use the term, fall in love with each other. I'm going to tell you how that young couple can adore each other and almost worship each other. I'm going to tell you how that young couple can hardly take their eyes off each other. I'm going to tell you how that young couple could want to be together alone and nobody else around. I'm going to tell you how that young couple could marry each other, go on a honeymoon together and go to the Niagara Falls and not even see Niagara Fall, go to the Rocky Mountains and not even see them. They're totally enraptured with each other. Stand at the altar and see no one else and feel that their relationship is unique and that they will never, never again feel any differently. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to tell you how that very young couple can walk to my office and say, "Brother Hiles, we have problems in our marriage." I'm going to tell you how that same young couple, that while they courted, could see no one else. When they married each other, they felt like they were so much in love they'd never want another. I'm going to tell you why that very young couple could go to a divorce court and get a divorce. I've seen it happen again and again and again. This morning, if you listen to me, I'm going to tell you what almost always causes it. And I'm going to tell you something this morning that can give you young couples an insurance, your older couples too for that matter. Except I don't see any older couples here this morning. But I'm going to tell you how that you'll never have that. I'm going to tell you this morning what you can do to ensure your marriage and your courtship and your relationship always against divorce, against becoming cold to each other. I'm going to tell you this morning how someone, you've seen it, someone can come to a church, go to a church, and they love the church and they love the preacher. And they say, "This is the church we want to join. This is the greatest church in the world. And this is the greatest preacher in the world." And they come to a church, this or some other church, and literally fall in love, as it were spiritually, with a preacher. And they go to their friends and say, "You've got to come and hear my preacher preach. I've never heard anybody preach like him. You've got to hear my preacher." And they'll write him notes and put the notes under the door and say, "You're the greatest preacher in the world. That's the greatest sermon I ever heard." They can remember him on holidays with gifts. And as far as they're concerned, he is the greatest man of God alive. And yet, that same couple can get mad within a matter of a month and leave the church. Now, I'm going to show you what causes it this morning. A man came to me, he's in this room now, one of our finest men, and asked me a question. He said, "Brother Hiles, what can I do? What can I do to be sure that I will never become disgruntled?" That's a wonderful question. Wonderful question. I mean, he said there are people that, about this, there are people that become disgruntled. And I'm sure that he notices, I've noticed, that those people seem to love the preacher as much as he does. And he said, "How can I keep from becoming disgruntled?" This morning, I'm going to show you the best way in the world so you'll never become disenchanted with your preacher. A Christian can love God. He comes to Christ. He gets saved. He's on a honeymoon with God. He loves Him. The Bible is a love story. Prayer is an audience with the King of Kings. Everything is new and shiny. And he loves God. And it's a sincere love for God. And yet, I read a letter this morning from one of our former college couples. It's from the wife of one of our former young male students. And she said, "My husband sold everything to come to college in 1983. She said, "We came to church." She said, "You were our hero. And we loved it there. We spent the best years of our lives there." And she said, "My husband was on fire for God. But now, wait a minute." She said, "Now, he's an alcoholic. He's drunk every night. He for 4 years in Howells Anderson College. He's drunk every night. I'm living in one state. Hey, look, if you're sleepy this morning, slap yourself good and hard. Now, this is worth hearing. Now, I didn't study this, so you could have a slumber party. Wake up. And so I'm simply saying that she said, I live in one state. He lives in the other. We don't know what to do. My husband is, he's in everything. He's just as, he never goes to church. Get it now. Wait a minute. He sat at Howells Anderson College and said amen for 4 years. He stood and cheered when the great speakers came across the platform. And now I'm going to show you this morning what happened to that fella. I'm going to show you how Christians can love God and sincerely love Him and then drift away from His Word, His church, and His work. I'm going to show you this morning how two people can be fast friends and they are totally enchanted with each other. And they have a friendship that each has dreamed about having with someone someday. And then, well, something happens. They become enemies. I can tell you folks right here in this room this morning who at one time were just like that. But they now will hardly speak to each other. They're almost, if not in some cases, are enemies. Now, if you listen to me, I'm going to show you this morning what causes that. Now, let's jump into it. Answer, they're lovers, but never become friends. They are lovers, but never become friends. Now, what I'm going to say right now is the most important thing I'm going to say. Lovers are face-to-face. Friends are side-by-side. Let me say it again. Lovers are face-to-face. Friends are side-by-side. Let me explain. Lovers become enchanted. This couple I'm talking about, this fictitious couple, fell in love. And what was it? They're face to face. They love to be together, enchanted with each other. And that's good. That's a wonderful way. Are you listening? That's a wonderful way to start a relationship. But you can't be like this all your life. You've got to be like this after a while. So the secret to continuing any relationship as a husband and wife is lovers, friends, lovers, friends, lovers, and friends. Now, if all you are, if all you have is the love relationship, and you're just lovers, then it'll be over after a while. You see, that's what our text says. Can two walk together? Didn't say can two stand together. Can they walk together? Didn't say they can stand looking. No, you walk side by side. You don't walk like this. You walk like this. And so, he's saying, can two walk together except they be agreed? You see, there's got to come a time in the life of that young couple when they have a common interest, a common cause, a common work, a common goal that causes them to walk side by side. Now, you can only be lovers so long. And after a while, you can't live on being lovers because lovers don't accomplish anything. Friends accomplish something. So you've got to change, not change, but you've got to add friendship to being a lover. For the relationship to last, the lovers must become friends. Let's go back to that person that comes to church. He comes to church, he loves the preacher. And he thinks the preacher's the greatest guy in the world. But after he's heard all his jokes and he starts the second round again, and he's heard all of his sermons and he starts the second round again, and he's heard all his truths and he starts the second round again, that person becomes disenchanted. Why? Because he was only a lover with that preacher. You see? But now if that person decides he's going to win souls, he's going to get a bus route, he's going to build a Sunday school class, and walk together in a common cause or common interest, then he won't have any trouble. Before you ever get disenchanted with the church, you give up your Sunday school class. You give up your bus route. As long as two walk together with a common interest, a common cause, they're friends. Now, there are times when we ought to be lovers. There are times when you ought to stop and say, I love Brother Hiles, and I thank God for Brother Hiles. There are times when you maybe ought to write a note to Brother Hiles and say, Brother Hiles, I thank God for you. And I get plenty of those. And that's good for you, and it's not bad for me either. And that's good. But you won't love me all for very long with just a lover relationship. We've got to walk together as friends. I say, lovers are face to face. Friends are side by side. That's why some of you folks have been here 31 years that I've been here. And that's why some of you folks have been here for 50 years and 60 years and 65 years. And that's why some of you never think about leaving a church at all. I mean, this is your church. I'm your preacher. This is your choir. This is your auditorium. And you're not. It never enters your mind to leave this church. And you're going to be a member of this church until you die. You know why? Because we're walking together. We're friends. We're side by side. Now there are times we become lovers face to face. And we say, I love you. And I thank God for you. There are times in this pulpit I say to you, I love you. And I express my love to you. But then we must then get side by side. We must have Pentecost Sunday and have 5,000 people saved. We must have a fall program and keep on going for God. We must build the buses. We must fill the Sunday school classes. We must win the souls. We must take care of the church business. We must be on the staff. We must be deacons. We must be choir members. We've got to be friends. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is side by side. And that's what happens to a Christian that loves God. I can tell you people who are devotional Christians and say, Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus. But that will not last forever. You've got to do the work with Jesus side by side. You love Him, then do His work. You face Him as a lover. You get beside Him as a friend, and do the work. I'm consumed with that passage. But we are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. Your devotional life like that with God will just take you so far. You've got to sometime become friends and walk side by side and not just face to face. Let me illustrate. I thought maybe I might get hungry during the service this morning. I have three clocks here. I want to explain it to you, explain the sermon this morning. Now, this is a clock. It's a wind-up clock. It's my favorite kind of clock, by the way, because the batteries don't burn out at 2 o'clock in the morning when you first get an airplane. But this is a wind-up clock. Now, you wind that clock up, and it'll run. Maybe for a day or two. But it'll run down. It's got to be wound up. Now, some of you are that way. You've got to be wound up. And you'll run till you get wound up again. That's one kind of clock. I have a second kind of clock this morning. I don't like it anymore. I used to love it. It's a Dallas Cowboy clock. Which means it never runs anymore. But this clock is a battery clock. You take that battery out right there, and that clock quits running. Now, that clock will run longer than the wind-up clock, but it runs down eventually. I have a third clock here, given to me one of our fine members. And it's not running right now because you can't run it and hold it up like and put it in a sack like that. But this clock I've had for years. This clock, in fact, something dropped out of it while I go into stopping it. But this clock is a clock, when it's set right, it keeps on running. You see, it's got these four little balls down there, and they go round and around 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 and around. And the fact that they go round and around and around and around not only means they're going round and around and around, but it means that they're winding up to go round and around and around and around and around. And they go round and around and around this way, and that's winding it up, so when it gets tight, it'll go round and around and around and around and around like that way. Now, this clock never runs down. Unless it breaks, it never runs down. Why? Because there's something in this clock that makes its action now provide action later when this action stops. It goes round and around and around and around and around and around, and then that's winding it up to go round and around and around and around. Now, these three clocks represent three types of Christians. You come to the church and you say, Brother Hiles, I love you. You're my favorite preacher. But we're only lovers. You only fill the pew. You like to hear me preach. Ah, you like those jokes of first round. And all of you still laugh at my jokes. You've heard them time and time again, but it's not really a good laughter. It's sort of a now, but I appreciate any effort on my behalf that you can give. But the truth is, you're going to run down one of these days, and you're going to trot off somewhere else. And the reason is, you're lovers. You're not friends. Because lovers are face-to-face. Friends are side-by-side. Now, there are others of you
that you are lovers and friends. And because you're lovers and friends, then you will say to the house, I love you. And you will say to others, I love my preacher. And that's face to face. But then you become friends as well as lovers. And side by side, we serve God. And side by side, we build a church, or he does. And side by side, we build a grade school. And side by side, we build Baptist City. And side by side, we build Howells Anderson College. And side by side, we build this great auditorium. And side by side, we see more people saved than any New Testament church has ever seen saved in a 30-year, 31-year period. And side by side, we see the greatest church on the face of the earth grow up here, this old downtown, unlikely section of Hammond. And so what do? We just, side by side, we're friends. And then all of a sudden, because we're friends, we realize how much we love each other. And we stop and say, boy, don't we have a great fellowship? And don't we love each other? And that winds us up to be friends. And that winds us up to be lovers. And that winds us up to be friends. In the Bible, for example, it says that if Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He also said, if you keep my commandments, you'll love me. Now, which is true? Does loving him make you keep his commandments, or keeping his commandments make you love him? Both are true. Look at me, follow me, wake up, shake yourself, fill next to you is asleep, slap the fire out of him, wake him up, and listen carefully. Listen carefully. You love him, that makes you want to serve him. And you serve him, that makes you want to love him. And you love him, that makes you want to serve him. There's a little town about 40 miles from here. I won't tell you where I used to go in the woods near the town. Listen to them, young ladies. I used to go in the woods and pray, a little town. I'd go out there in the woods and I'd pray for 2 or 3 hours. And near the woods there is a town of about 1,000 people. I've knocked on every door in that town. I'd go out in the woods and I'd pray and I'd get close to God and say, I love you. What a wonderful God you are. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'd say, I've got to tell somebody. I'd take off of that little town. I'd knock on the door. I'd witness to somebody and tell them about Jesus and get them saved. And then, after I got them saved, I'd get so happy, I'd say, I got to go out in the woods and have a spell again. And I'd go out in the woods and have a spell. And I'd have a spell make me so happy, I'd say, I got to go back there and tell somebody about Jesus. I've worn that town out near my place where I used to pray. Why? Because having a spell winds you up to walk together and be friends. And walking together and winning souls winds you up to want to be close to God. And so you never run down, because if you love him, that makes you want to serve him. If you serve him, that makes you want to love him. Now, let me go back to these couples for a few minutes. That's what your problem is. You know what happened to that little lady that wrote that letter this morning? My husband's a drunkard. Are you listening? He's a drunkard. He went to Howells Anderson College 4 years. She said, we drifted apart. You know why I drifted apart? They were lovers, but never became friends. That's what's going to happen to some of you college students. If I were a young wife, and I don't think I ever will be, but if I were a young wife, either word, wife or young, but if I were a young wife, I would make myself so interested in my husband's work, we'd be friends as well as lovers. I'd find out his hobbies. It'd be my hobby too. And some of you ladies are saying right now, yeah, how about the men? That's the trouble with you. You can't change your husband, bless God. You can change yourself. And as long as you're thinking what he ought to be, you'll never be what you ought to be. As long as you guys are thinking what she ought to be, you'll never be what you ought to be. If I were a young lady this morning, I'd go to class at Howells Anderson College. I don't care if I had to sell my kids. I'd go to class at Howells Anderson College. No way I'd let him go 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 15, 16, 18, 21 years, Howells Anderson College. And I'd sit at home and never walk inside that school. No way. No way. I don't want him to be friends with somebody out of school and lovers when he gets home. If I were to leave this morning, and Howells Anderson goes, I'm saying it's tougher in college than it is if you're not in college. The guy gets up at 7 o'clock in the morning, goes to college, gets off at 1 o'clock, goes to work at 2, gets home at midnight, and has a few hours to sleep and to study, and takes off for college. I'm simply saying the wisest woman in this room today will decide to say, I'm going to do more than love my husband and be a lover to my husband. We're going to be friends. We're going to have things in common. We're not just going to be face to face. We're going to be side by side. Have things in common. So that's what happens. Young couple falls in love. They face each other. But life must be lived. And I say what? When you're not married, you don't have to be anything but lovers. Because when you go home, There's no, you don't have to, you're not together, and you don't have the commode never gets stopped up, and the bird never comes inside the house, and the shingles don't begin, the roof doesn't begin to leak. But I want to tell you something. You listen to me. You say, well, as long as you can be romantic lovers, you'll stick together. Now, that's not true. That's not true. You've got to be lovers and friends. Lovers and friends. You've got to be face to face. That's the lover. Side by side. That's the friend. Now, listen. This will do more for your marriage than anything you ever heard in your life. Now, let me say this. You'd be surprised how many couples stand right here and I perform their ceremony and I ask the young man over there, where did you meet? Now listen carefully. Where did you meet? He says, she was a bus worker on the same route I was on. I liked the way she took care of those kids. I liked the way she had compassion. And we were on the same bus route. And so often they say, we didn't even think about being sweethearts. And all of a sudden one day, she looked at him and she said to him, she said about him, boy, he's the kind of guy I like. And she, why? Because they were friends. No couple will ever stay together. I don't mean just divorce. I'm talking about any kind of stay together unless you become friends. Now, I'm not saying substitute the friendship for the lover. You ought to be lovers and friends. Lovers and friends. Give me a couple here. Come up here. Couple means two, that's right. Y'all just stand right there, facing me, side by side. Okay, now look at each other. Face each other. Ah, look at there. Look at the way she's looking at me. I mean him. Lovers. That's wonderful. Tell her you love her. Tell her you love him too. Oh, that's beautiful. Right here in front of God and everybody. Yeah, look at him. Now, I want to tell you something. Some of you goons at the college, that's the way you look all the time. And that's okay. You've been married. Listen, wait till you get so fat you can't stand there close to each other. Now, something's got to change. Now, that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that, but something's got to change. So turn face this way. Now what are they? Now face each other. Now what are they? All right, now face this way and walk a few steps. Now what are they? Now, while they're friends, suddenly they stop and they've enjoyed and shared the same things together and they turn to each other and say, don't... He jumped the gun. But they're lovers now. That's the way it is. But see, you can let this be a pastor and a member if you want to. Let this be a friend and a friend if you want to. Let this be any relationship you have. There must be times when you're lovers. There must be times when you're friends. And most young couples like this, they are lovers. But turn and walk this way now. Now they're friends. Now what are they doing? They're winding that clock around and around. So all of a sudden they turn to each other and they become lovers. And what are they doing now? They're winding that clock around and around and around so they can be friends again. And they walk, and they're friends. What are they doing? They're winding that clock around and around and around and around. And then they stop, and they look at each other, and they're lovers again. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way you young people ought to be. And you young couples ought to be that way. Oh, you say, well, my husband, he loves bowling, but I just never have given a flip for bowling. Well, then give a flip for bowling. Boy, if I were you, if I were a young wife and my husband were a golfer, boy, I'll tell you, we'd tee off together. Yes, we would. You say, Brother Hines, I never have light golf. Well, you might be playing something by yourself. I'd rather have checkers. Brother, play checkers than golf. You're playing solitaire. Now, let me tell you something, young couples. You better listen to me now. What you saw here this morning is a secret to your happy life all the way out yonder. And let me tell you something. Whenever he loses that hair and looks like this, and look, There's going to be a day when they can't love each other on the basis of how pretty they are. In fact, in this case, it's already come for him. But I'll tell you what. If they are friends, walk real slowly together, they're building up and sharing sweet and wonderful experiences. So it doesn't matter how old they get, how fat they get, how bald he gets. They'll always stop and look at each other and say, haven't we shared some wonderful things together? I love you. Get on down there. Don't hold hands in church. You see, can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, when you're facing each other, you can't walk. You'll bump heads. You friends go side by side. Same thing is true with church members. Same thing is true with Christian people, with fellowship with God. Dr. John Rice and I, we had times together when I'd look at him and I'd put my arms around his big old shoulders and say, Dr. Rice, you're the greatest friend of outside my family I have in the world. And Dr. Rice, I don't know how much I love you, but God knows I love you with all my heart. I saw little notes under his door on Wednesday if I was leaving for the airport before he did. And just simply say, dear Dr. Rice, I love you, Brother Hiles. But now, we just didn't do that all the time. We shared 2,200 times on the same platform across America. For 22 years, we shared the same burden. Dr. Rice looked at me one time and he said, Brother Hiles, he said, you know why I have you preach for me more than anybody else? And in fact, I preach for him more than all other preachers in America put together. I mean, he could have chosen, good night, the greatest preacher. He could have chosen Tom Malone. He could have chosen Lee Robertson. He could have chosen some preachers that are gone to heaven now, great preachers. But Dr. Rice and I, he said, Dr. Rice, you know why? He said, I'm not saying you're the greatest preacher, but he said, you and I carry the same burden for America. What worry? We're friends. Lovers, friends. Lovers, friends. Lovers, friends. Same thing is true about parents and a child. Ought to have things in common. Ought to have interests that are the same. If you, I don't care what relationship it is, a husband and a wife, a sweetheart relationship, a friend relationship, a member pastor relationship, I don't care what it is, you are not going to always have that relationship built on being lovers. Now, don't lose the lover part. But once you have the lover part and use that to be friends, that'll wind up so you can be lovers, and that'll wind you up. I'm saying this. Say, Brother Hiles, somebody said to their girlfriend, you turn me on. How about this? You keep me on. If he turned you on, who turned you off? You keep me on. Dr. Rice and Mrs. Rice and I were talking one day. They didn't know I was in the front seat and they're in the back seat and I was driving. They didn't know I heard them. And she said, John R., she always called him John R., John R., do you love me? He said, yes. What was her first name, Lois? Lois. Yes, Lois. She said, why do you love me? He said, because the Bible tells me to. And she said, John R., that doesn't turn me on. He said, they'll never turn me off. Now, what was he saying? He was saying, Lois, through these years, we've carried America on our shoulders. And through these years, we've worked for one cause. The reason you've been home, the reason I've been gone so much, because we're carrying America on our shoulders and trying to save this country and bring revival back to America. And because we have shared the work, I love you. Lovers and friends. Walk together. Not stand together. Not sit together. Walk together. A few illustrations and I'm finished. I'm thinking of a couple in Texas. He was a medical student. She was a lovely young lady. Before he went to medical school, became a doctor, they were close. They were lovers. Loved each other. I love you. I love you.
Every while, there ain't nothing else to have to say.
It's like these notes you write. You can't think up a new one every day. But after a while, what happened? He went to medical school. Now, follow me carefully.
Here's what happened. And she came one day and said, "My husband, I have nothing in common." I said, "Of course not. You're not walking together." She was a lover. He was a friend. Nothing in common. And so, after a while, trouble. He was in medical school. She didn't care a thing about medicine. Now, she had a cold. Had nothing in common. Why, she should have learned everything about every formula there was, every medicine there was. I know what you ladies are saying. But how about the husband? That's your problem. You fellas are saying, "Well, how about my wife?" That's your problem. You can't do a thing about your mate, but bless God, you can do something about you. And you're just as ruined in your relationship, no matter whose fault it is. And they drifted away. I'm thinking about a man. I can still see the day when he and his friend came to our church in Texas for the first time. Two couples came in the back door one Sunday. Came down the aisle, both of them joined our church by membership. The fellow's name, first name was Leon. I won't give you his last. First name was Leon. Good-looking guy. 32-ish, 33-ish maybe. Maybe 35. Boy, he fell in love with the church. He fell in love with me. Boy, he said, "I didn't know there was any preaching like that anymore. I'll tell you, I thought those old-fashioned hell-raising preachers were all dead now." No, it's the ones that are not hell-raising preachers that are all dead now, though they live. But, oh, he loved me. He'd come by my office every week sometime and tell me he loved me. He'd write me notes and tell me, I mean, if I ever had a need, brother, he's one of those guys like some of you, if I dropped a hint, I liked a certain sandwich. He got me a dozen of them. I tell you, he was really... But wait a minute. He never got a bus route. He never got a Sunday school class. He never did anything in the church. It was all lovers, face to face. Never side by side. "I love you, preacher, but never... I serve with you, preacher." Wait a minute. Fellow got promoted in his company, insurance company. Very successful. Promoted again. Turned to alcohol. He's now president of the company. Last I heard. President of this insurance company. Big company. He's president of it now. Or was the last time I heard. Wife wrote me a letter and said, "Dear Brother Hiles, Leon is drinking. He's drunk every night. He's worked his way to the top." Now why? Because Leon was a lover with his preacher, but not a friend. Face to face with his church, but not side by side. Face to face with his wife. He'd come, listen to me, he'd come home. Love his wife. But not side by side. Lovers, but not friends. I'm thinking about two fellows in Texas. I could call their names, but I will not. Two fellows in Texas. Good friends. Every time he went fishing, she went with him. I'm sorry. But these are both men. Every time he went, a friend went with him. And every time one went to a ball game, the other went to a ball game. They liked each other. They used to say, "Boy, you're the best friend I've ever had. You're the best friend I've ever had." Face to face. Lovers. I don't mean that immorally now. I mean, they loved each other. But what happened? They never got side by side. If those fellows had gotten a bus route together, they'd have been friends and lovers and they'd still be good friends. But after a while... See, you know what I'm talking about. You couples. You say, "I love you," after a while, then she doesn't say, "I love you," quite fervently enough. And you say to her, "You don't sound like you sounded yesterday." And she says to you, "Well, I feel like I felt." Well, you feel like you felt, why don't you say like you felt? And before you know it, you've broken up. Why? You can't build a relationship on being lovers. You got to be friends. As husband and wife, as friends, as church member and pastor, as mother and father, I can tell you couple after couple in this church. Now, I'm not talking about fringe people. I'm talking about inner circle people who have loved each other. And by the way, I'm talking about the best kids in the church. Clean, decent, right, pure, straight A, model young people. Mr. Highlander, Miss Highlander, Mr. HBHS, Miss HBHS, top young people. They dated. They loved each other.
And then he got in his last work, and she did not get in his last work. And because she did not, this model young couple, everybody said, they're made for each other. They may be made for each other, but unless they become friends, and if they just stay lovers, they're not going to make it. Now listen to me. You want to ask the question this fellow asked me, how can I never become disgruntled? You love Brother Hiles. I want you to. But you serve with Brother Hiles. You work with Brother Hiles. And then let's stop occasionally and say, I thank God for you. And face to face, we're lovers. And then let's say, let's walk together again as friends. And then lovers. Then friends. Then lovers. And then friends. That's the great secret. Now, you're going to love God for a while as His lover. But that sweet love must be wound up by service. So get busy for God. Do something for God. Be His friend as well as His lover. Look at me and I'm through. How about your relationships today? You reckon maybe you ought to totally change something in your life? Somebody you love dearly? If you want to always love them dearly, then you better develop a common bond, a common interest, common work, common loves, as you are friends side by side, lovers face to face. Friends side by side, lovers face to face. Do you want to be see to it that nobody will ever say about you, did he leave our church? Well, what? He's crazy. Do you want that never to be said? Then you be friends as well as lovers. You come and sit and say, boy, I love that preaching. Boy, I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. You won't love it all the time unless that love is built by friendship. Love face to face. Friends side by side. Never forget it. Never forget it. You want to be sure that you and your friend are always friends? Then love face to face. Friends. Side by side. Lovers, face to face. Friends, side by side. That's why Jesus is called our lover and our friend. He takes time to love us and tells us He loves us. And then He turns around and says, let's serve together. We are laborers together with God. Shall we pray?